You want this tape?
I do. Which one?
Huh?
I miss.
Facebook got it.
Okay.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, middle of the week. Middle of the week. Hi, Christy. I miss you. I know. I lost your number. I apologize. Thank you. you know, it's really funny because I pray today. I go, Lord, have her call me. I within the last 10 minutes, I did that. And here you are.
Aww.
Praise God. Thank you. Our God is so good.
That's how God works.
Okay. Hey, Facebook. How you guys doing? We had an amazing last weekend. Great turnouts here. Pastor Shabelli in town. New visitors. I mean, so we were excited. And I don't want to let things go by without announcing. Saturday is a very important day. We're going to be doing outreach. We'll be right out here. The signs are fun, right, Monty? I mean, it works, you know. It's we've had people come because of that, and more coming that have called me. So we're just out here with signs up, telling them we're praying for them, and if they want to come in for prayer, and cars are pulling in, and so it's really exciting. But outreach is very important because this is a time. You know, when you look at our country where, you know, division, closing of things, separation of things, isolation, and all these things cooped together really can make some people crazy, you know, and they need a message, and we have it.
Yes.
That's all there is to it. We still have a message. You know, with all this is going on, nothing has changed on who God is.
Amen.
And he still wants to heal. He still wants to touch people in their lives. So come out Saturday. Come out Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. It's really a really good time. We will start with a message. We'll do some prayer. And then we'll just come right out here. And then Sunday morning, 10:30. Sunday morning, 10:30. If you need details on that, you can go to our website, www.ggcmiami.com. Okay? So, John chapter 10. And, you know, we're in this, you know, we're still in the area of the Good Shepherd. And we're taking our time in here for a purpose, for a reason. And and I want you to think here today. That God cares for you.
Amen.
You know, and you can say three things. You can say, I don't think he does. Or he doesn't enough. He cares for me, but it's not enough. Or I know he does. And really, all three of those answers are arrogant. Because the care that he gives us on a moment-by-moment, regular day-by-day basis is always new. And we must learn to experience that loving care. And we must learn to walk in it and to believe in it and to fellowship with it with a great understanding. And and sometimes in our own understanding, we don't understand things in the way that God intends them for us. Our understanding is limited. A lot of times our understanding is robbed because of experiences and situations we go through. And we miss out on on what God's trying to show us in the moment. So he's a good shepherd. John chapter 10, he's a caring shepherd. The Bible tells us that Israel never received care like what God can give them. That all the shepherds were disappointing. And they failed in different areas. So we're going to start here tonight in John chapter 10, verse 12. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. This loving, caring, great, good, faithful, and true shepherd. The shepherd of the sheep. Bless these thoughts this evening. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John chapter 10, verse 12. He says, but he, the hireling, and not the shepherd, but he that is a hireling, but not the shepherd. And a hireling is a hired help, somebody that was hired and paid to watch the sheep. No other value to the shepherd, to the sheep, but to get paid. That was the only purpose. That was the only purpose the hireling was there. Not that he had concern for the sheep, not that he loved the sheep, not that he cared for the sheep, but he was getting paid by somebody to watch the sheep. That was it. Not the shepherd, whose own sheep they are not. So these sheep do not belong to this hireling. And when he sees the wolves coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. When there's danger coming, when things are approaching, this guy is out of there. The one that's supposed to watch and care for the sheep doesn't care at all. And any type of danger, he's going to be gone. Sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep. Remember, Christ is the door, and Christ is the great shepherd. It's only through Christ. So he does not, this hireling does not care. He leaves them unattended. When the wolf comes, that wolf will catch and scatter the sheep, is what it's saying here in verse 12. He leaves the sheep when the wolf catches them, and he scatters the sheep. Keep your place there. Look at Ezekiel 22. Do you have this, Cindy? Okay. Look at this verse, Ezekiel 22. I found this. Ezekiel 22, verse 27. Ezekiel 22, 27. It says, her princess, in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening to the prey. It's like circling. The wolves are out. They smell the blood. To shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. A scattering of the sheep. A destroying of the sheep, a shedding of blood because the hireling didn't do the job that he was paid to do. Unattended sheep who could not defend themselves are victims. And God is saying, that's how my shepherds are. They leave the sheep unattended. and sheep that are left unattended scatter. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. There's no care for the sheep. Look at that word. He does not care for the sheep. This is what I want to talk about tonight. Because there's only one that cares for the sheep. There's only one that cares for your soul. There's only one that cares for every part of your spiritual growth. Nobody cares like Jesus Christ. We need pastors. We need to raise up men that care for the sheep. We need people to care for one another. There's a great need for those who care. People just don't care today. There's no caring for one another. They'll care for somebody if they get their own first, but that's the same as a hireling. There's no difference. As long as he was paid, he would stay around a little bit. People don't care like they should care because there's self-interest involved. And my self-interest about taking care of my needs is higher than caring for others. There's no laying down one's life for anybody anymore. It's all for profit and it's all for gain. Dishonest profit and dishonest gain, Ezekiel 22, 27. Allowing the wolves to come in and just scatter the sheep. The shepherd cares. Jesus Christ cares. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. I think I need a new Bible. My pages are ripped out. It's really pitiful. Again, First Peter chapter 5. Did you say where is First Peter? Before Second Peter.
Lay down.
Don't have your phone to scroll for it, do you? You got to look in a Bible. Listen to this. 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Two different words, care, both opposite. One, your cares. Two, his care. One, your care. The second one is his care. You see that? Casting your care because he cares. And your care here, and we're going to go over this, but I want to show you some other areas where the exact same word means the same thing. It's an amazing word, but it means anxiety. Your cares are anxious. Your cares are worry. You worry about many things. And then the mothers that are in you say, oh, I just care for them. No, you're anxious about them. Caring the way God cares is different than caring for somebody with worry. Sometimes we don't know how to care for somebody without worrying or being anxious or having great anxiety. And this is what this is talking about. And we are to take that and put it upon Christ. We're not to care for somebody in this way, not in an anxious, worry type of way. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing or care for nothing. Don't care in this capacity for anything. So be anxious for nothing. His care. And your care. So his care here in verse 7, for he cares for you, is careful concern over someone without allowing anxiety and worry to come into the picture. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at another word here. You guys with me?
Yes.
Facebook? I know they're with me because I can see them. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Look at this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Stop there. Take no thought. It's the exact same word for anxious, anxiety, caring, and worry. It's all the same Greek word. It's really a perpetual state of uneasiness. You're very uneasy about things. It's anxiety coming in. Anxiety is a stress killer. It's a destroyer of the soul to have your mind occupied with a care or a worry or a stress. Our minds need to be filled with other things outside of anxiety and stress. And I'm not going to read this all, but this goes from verse 25 all the way down to 34. I don't know what you're scrolling here, but it talks about four things total. First of all, don't worry about what you eat, don't worry about what you drink, and don't worry about what you wear. Hear that, women?
Yeah.
I got a good look. No, but don't worry about those things. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you drink. And then it goes into things. And then verse 27, it says the same thing. Take no thought. You can scroll to 26, 20. Take no thought. Merimeno is the Greek word. And it's the same word for all of these. Care, anxious, and worry. Every single word is the exact same. Okay, and here says, take no thought because you can't add to what's going on. And then in 28, it talks about what you wear, not to be anxious about that either, or take no thought about that either. And then it's got a key word here. It says, consider, and that's amazing. So we're not going to take a thought, we're not going to worry, we're not going to be anxious, we're not going to have these outside humanistic cares that are ungodly, that lead to worry and lead to stress. Instead, we're going to consider katamineno. It means to learn about this topic, not just to learn with an understanding of knowledge. We're not talking about head knowledge. We're talking about learning it thoroughly through God's point of view and God's word. To have the exact same care that Christ, when he cares. And you look at those and they're just a completely the opposite spectrum. Because we're going to have the care of the shepherd. Care of the shepherd really eliminates yourself from the whole picture of things. It doesn't give you, in the Greek, it doesn't even give you an opportunity to worry about it. To allow that thought to come into your mind that it's going to cause me to worry and have stress over it. And there are so many things that do that in our lives. Everything, you know. Everything, we go to that point of view. And then we'll add, oh, but I care so much for them. Yeah, but you're not, you're doing it in the form of anxiousness. Yourself is anxious. And then God's in verse 30, God says, by doing it that way, by doing it with anxiety and worry and this type of care, he says, oh, you of little faith. Of little is oligosukos. So it's oligopistos. Pistos is faith. Oligo means small. Oh, you little small faith. To allow anxiety and worry and stress to enter into our own souls is very, very little faith. Because you're not trusting God. Instead, you're going to worry about something instead of trusting God for it. And you've diminished your mindset. You made yourself very, very small. You're lacking confidence in Christ for the situation. In what you eat, drink, what you wear. And then there's even one more in verse 34. Because he says it again, take no thought. Take no thought for tomorrow. So he's covered. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you drink. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's taken everything out of the equation. Any type of worrying in these areas are really stressful worry, and it does not add one thing to your life, but death. you're not trusting God, and your faith is crumbling. And it's not care. It's not really care. It's not loving. You might be thinking of somebody and thinking, oh, I'm loving for them, so I'm caring for them. But that's not God's love. That's humanistic love. And it falls very short of genuine agape love. You guys with me? Sounding silent in here. Because those things cannot prolong your life, it says. It cannot prolong anything, but give you stress and worry in that day. So John 1:29, it says, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's the one who knows the sheep. He's the one whose voice we listen to. He's the voice we hear. He's the one that cares for us. This amazing care, this amazing love. And he teaches us here on teaching us not to worry and not to care in areas that it's going to affect our own health. It's going to affect our own health. So he's the good shepherd in verse 11. He's the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. He's the chief shepherd in 1 Peter. And he's the one that calls us unto himself, faithful and true. The one in 1 Peter 5:4, that chief shepherd, by the way, we've hit that a couple of times. That's the shepherd even of the future. I think that's most scholars believe that's futuristic shepherd. Okay, so back to John. Let's wrap this up. I just wanted to talk about how this Savior so cares for us. John 10:14. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by them. And this is good too. He knows us, but he wants us to know him. And not just know of him, not just know of the name of Jesus. It's not knowing a historical Jesus. It's not knowing Christ after that way. It's not knowing Jesus of what I've been taught of, about him, of this guy that died on the cross. It's not that at all. It's knowing him. You know, Philippians 3:10, Paul said that I may know him. I want to know him. And turn to Jeremiah. And you know what? This knowing of Christ is not, again, it's knowing him in fellowship and in a relationship. That we can know the God in a fellowship and a relationship. When you get to know Christ in a fellowship and a relationship, it's developed in love. And this is the reason why we brought out this care. Because all of our cares, if we don't cast them upon Christ, it's very hard for that love to get into our hearts. Because when we are worrying about everything, whether you know it's hardening our own hearts. And nothing is getting in. Nothing is penetrating. The love of God is not getting within my own heart. This new heart is not getting in. This new God, the words are not getting into this soft heart, this new heart. A heart that can love, a heart of flesh. It's not penetrating. Things become stale. Things become difficult. Even my faith, and oh, you of little faith, it's hard to even to believe God in situation and areas because so many things are going wrong. And it's because of myself, because I'm worrying about everything. And I'm stressed about everything. And I'm fearful about everything. And where is your faith? And God, Jesus is saying, oh, you of little faith. It's so small in your life. Come hear the word of God and get built up by the word. And start to have a fellowship and a relationship with me. If you want a fellowship with Monty, you need to spend time with him. You need to call him. You need to have fellowship. You need to have communication. This is how it's formed. And it's formed through thoughts. It's formed through thoughts of love. And it's where God is thinking of me and I'm thinking of him. Constant, regular, and often. And then I'm getting to know about the shepherd who loves me and I'm reading the word of God. And how can we have a relationship with the Savior if we're not in this book? And don't ever come to me and say you don't have time because you have nothing but it. And you have more time to be in here than to do anything you can think of. And remember, Satan's first job, keep you out of the book, number one. And number two, pervert what you hear. Which means, did God really say that? Did God really say that? That's what he told Eve right away. Did God really say that? And Jesus combated that same type of attack by, it is written. So we must develop and establish this relationship. This is what love is. This is what care is. If caring, I learn about the one who cares for me. Nobody cares for you like Christ. Nobody. This turns into great investment. He starts to invest in you. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher. But you know what? You can bring those thoughts to Christ. And you can learn about his thoughts. And you can learn about this shepherd. You can learn about his amazing love. You can learn about forgiveness. You can learn about mercy. Any area of life that you're struggling in, everything's right here. And we wonder why so many things go wrong in my life. We don't get with the one who cares for us. We don't communicate with that one. Where did I say to go?
Jeremiah.
Okay, Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50, verse 6. Look at this. My people have been lost sheep. My people have been lost sheep. A lost sheep is somebody who does not follow the shepherd or have been scattered by false shepherds or hirelings. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. It just means that they're not even getting teaching. They're not getting the word at all. If you're not getting the word of God, word at all, you're going to be scattered. You're like a sheep without a shepherd. Nobody is speaking to you. You're not hearing the word. You're not putting yourself under the word. So you've got this false definition of what it means to be cared for even. You don't think he can even care for you. You don't think he cares about those areas in your life that are causing great pain. The shepherd cares. These shepherds don't, because they left you to be scattered. This is why God said, I'll send them a shepherd. I'll send them a shepherd with a heart after me that will teach them properly. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on mountains. They have gone from mountains to hills. They have forgotten their resting place. And we wonder why we have so many cares. We wonder why my life has so many problems. And I love what Pastor Schiavelli said when he said, don't say they're the details of life, which they are. But they're life. It's part of life. And we want to teach you how to deal with life until Christ comes back. You know, the Bible says, I'm going to give you abundant life. How many in the church are living abundantly? I'm not talking about physical resources. I'm talking about a healthy soul. A soul that is prospering. A spirit that is communicating. Hey, there's going to be blessings that are going to flow over. But we're talking about a healthy mind, healthy emotions. One that we truly know that he cares for me. He has his everlasting loving arms under me if I fall. Every part of my life he knows about. This is not obscured to God. This isn't just saying, wow, all this stuff is happening. There must be something wrong. And we look to blame things. But whatever it is, God has you in the palm of his hand. What you're going through is for your good. Have we ever looked at it that way? Wow, I don't like what's happening. I wish it would end. I wish it would stop. When's it going to end? But have you found the treasure in that area? Because there is a treasure there. Christ is in it. You're not alone. You're not going through it alone. Christ is in it. And here, it says they have forgotten their resting place. You know, many believers, many Christians haven't had rest in years. They don't even know how to enter into it. They don't understand that it is finished. They don't understand that God gives us this amazing place to rest in the finished work. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. He's our resting place. He goes before you. Even if you're in the fiery flame right now, like the Hebrew boys, he's right in there in the midst with you. Too many of us have settled for my life to be this way without experiencing, like Paul said. He said, he's in chains. He's in jail. And he says, this is what, and he's talking about, oh, Timothy, bring me a Bible. I can't wait to be able to witness to this person and this person. And I can't wait to see what God, and he's in jail and he's thinking outside of the problem. We don't have to live in the situation. The situation is there. We can see that, but our minds can live in the finished work. Our minds can live in the victory. What happened to the verses like, I am more than conqueror? What happened to those verses? What happened to the promises? What happened to the victory? Why am I swallowed up in death? Can I learn to care? Can I learn to care the way Christ learns to care? I can enter into a rest. You can enter into rest. You don't have to strive and worry in guilt or in shame or in a false care or in anxiety and in stress. You can rest from all that. Cast it all upon Christ. Give it to the shepherd. Give it to the one who cares, the one who calls you by the name. He says he knows you. Now you know him, and you do that through a fellowship. In verse 15, do I have 15 too? Okay. As a father knoweth me, even so I, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is what Christ did. He lays down his life for you. You know, David did that. You know, they claim David was an amazing shepherd. And in 1 Samuel, I think it's 17, right? Where he talks about being he was the shepherd over the sheep. He goes, this Goliath character, he's nothing. Yeah. He goes, because I killed a bear. Did he say a bear? I killed a lion and I killed a bear with my bare hands. This is no different. This Goliath character is no different. And but basically what David did is he laid down his life. I heard also that it was like this battle against these were at the same time, or one right after another, you know, and he killed both of them. But he laid down his life. Christ lays down his life for you, that you may have life. He gave up his life so you can have life. Jesus, we thank you for this time. We love you, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Gracious and precious is the one who cares for you. He cares for you today. He cares for you. Come unto him. Come unto him. Many of you haven't been to the altar in years. Sometimes we have to get upon our knees and just worship him. Come to Christ. Give it all to him. Give all your cares to him. Unnecessary care. He will take care of feeding you and your drink and your clothing. And he'll even take care of tomorrow. Some of you are already worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. And you miss that he's caring for you now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing love. Thank you that I can have a relationship and fellowship established in you. If somebody here has never accepted Christ, and I'm not talking about through a religious ceremony, I'm talking about this relationship that I've been talking about. If you've never accepted Christ, just ask Jesus to come into your heart, come into your life. He promised that he will bring the Holy Spirit and he'll give you a comforter and he will teach you all things concerning Christ. He does that because he loves you. He does that because he cares for you. Accept Christ tonight. Believe on him for eternal life. Believe on him. He is the shepherd of the flock, the great shepherd. Lord, I just pray for these people that do this today. that you fill them with the Holy Spirit of God, that they become complete in you. Bless our fellowship. Bless the offering tonight. And come out and see us Saturday and Sunday also. Sunday at 10:30, Saturday at 10. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.